cannot tell you how many times that there's been a special song that I needed just before I got up. God has been very gracious and merciful to me. The battles that I may be fighting, just even in my mind as we're down praying, the Lord will send something to help. So I want to thank the Lord for that little phrase of song, because I need to leave it all in the hands of the Lord. I desire your prayers. I don't want to over exaggerate by any means, but I suppose if there's been any other message that I've prayed over any more than this one, I don't know what it is. This is the last message to my knowledge concerning the mind of the martyrs. And it was as though this one was given to me first, and then all of the other was filled in. And yet, as I came down to it, the Lord began to inspire me, I thought. And that it became larger than large. Thank the Lord. And I knew that it couldn't be given today all. So I was crying out to the Lord last night, knowing that there were some parts that I needed to understand could have been for me, maybe not for you. And I started asking the Lord, help me to know what to divide here. So I believe that the Lord has made me to know, just to give this last part. The scripture we're going to start with is one that we have referred to in some of the messages prior. But this time we want to read the whole verse. It's 1 Corinthians 8th chapter, verses 4 through 6. Not entirely the whole verses, but it says, "We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many, but to us there be but one God, and one Lord, Jesus Christ." This passage tells us that there are many gods in this world. And I don't think we're really aware or calling certain things gods. And yet there are gods that people are trusting in and looking to and following. And you and I, we look to God to give us vision and understanding, that we not be caught up in the things of the world. The word of the Lord is so plain about loving the world. It says that if you and I love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Very plain scripture. We have to understand what the world is and what it represents and how it affects us as we're passing through this world. Jesus said, when he prayed for his disciples, he said, "I don't only pray for the disciples, I pray for all of those that will believe." So he prayed for the church, he prayed for you and me, that we would be able to pass through this world untainted by the world. the world is probably, how shall I say it? I'm going to rephrase it. The world is in a greater place of offering to the people things that will appeal to the flesh than ever before in history. I believe this. I preached a message just before Monarch on the cross of choice, and it was bringing out that fact that that the choices of the pioneers were minimal compared to all of the choices that you and I have today. And choices mean that we need to resist, or we need to denounce, or we need to deny our flesh, because the very air is permeated with choices, yes, or spirits. Spirits of the world can become gods of the world. People will follow after them. They will not probably say, I am worshiping this God. But in truth, when they pursue those things, they are worshiping the gods of this world. So there are many gods in this world, and yet for the child of God, for you and me, we believe that there is only one God.
Yes.
We trust in only one God.
Yes.
We believe that it is one God and one Father and one Christ. Thank the Lord. I believe it this morning. I'm convinced. And I believe you are convinced also. We're not ignorant. We are an enlightened people as to who God is, what He is, what He wants to do with your life and my life. And we are convinced that we must follow Him if we make heaven. Thank the Lord. So the martyrs were convinced, and they were convicted also of one God. They knew there were gods of their time, idols. And that was what the great contest was of their time. The scripture tells us that if we save our lives, we will lose our lives. If we come to a place such as the martyrs did, all they had to do to save their life was to denounce their faith in Christ or in the one true God. That's all they had to do. Very simple. You and I, the scripture also says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The word of the Lord is very plain that there is only one true way. It says that you and I cannot serve two masters, that we will love the one and hate the other, or despise the one, cleave to the other. This morning I want to encourage us all, cleave to the one true God. Love the one true God. We have focused in these messages a lot concerning loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. When we love the one true God with our whole being, we will serve the one true God. So in the age that we are, there are other gods that are vying for your attention, for your love. There are other gods that are wanting your allegiance. Oh, we may not consciously think of that, Maybe even everyone out in the world that are caught up with the things of the world do not consciously think, well, this is a God that is wanting my allegiance. I don't believe that the enemy would want or allow any of us or the people of the world to see it in that way. But that is what it is. There are gods that are wanting your allegiance. So you and I are in this world, and we're commanded not to love the world, and we're commanded not to be of this world. It will pay us to have a vision of what that means. God has a people that are separate from the world, a people that is called out. Sometimes the longer that we live, we can get so comfortable in our walk with the Lord that we lose sight of, I really am different from the world. And I must be. We are called to be a light in this world. We are called to represent God and Christ to the world by living a holy life. And it seems as though that very few people understand what it means to live a holy life. God said himself, Jesus said it, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And it seems like that is a high calling. It is a high calling to separate ourselves from the wickedness and darkness of this world, to be called a saint of God in this world. Nobody is a saint except those that have died and had lived some kind of life to represent their title. We're now going to name this person a saint because God's calling for us to be a saint in this world. Thank the Lord. So I'm going to name a few of the gods of this world. Pray that the Lord will help us. One really huge god in this world is the god of the sports world. The sports arena has the allegiance and love and attention from the majority of this world. They love it. They live for it. Have you ever heard of people saying they eat, drink, and live, or sleep even? Football? There are people that just love it, and they follow it, and they know the information about the players, and they just eat it up. It's become a god. Another very big god of this world is the world of entertainment of all kinds, every kind. It would fall under that god. It appeals to the flesh because it's holding within those things that it's being presented to the eyes. I think I've told this possibly before, but I have a great niece that when she and her husband had their first child, from an infant, they would not allow that child to even be in the presence of a television that was turned on. Oh, I thought that was so commendable. It has changed. The child is older. It has changed. But I think they had a very good principle in the beginning. Well, the child got sick and had to be in the hospital, and she was just maybe 6 months old. And they could not get her to settle down while she was there at the hospital. She was distressed and crying, and so they turned the television on. It immediately had an impact on this little child, and she didn't even know what she was watching. But it attracted her eyes. It settled her down in her emotions. And I have found that people has a way of, if they're in the presence of these kind of entertainments, their eyes are drawn to it. You have to really resist and denounce yourself from partaking of the entertainments. I remember also a number of years ago I was called to do jury duty. And it was in a big, large group of people. As I walked out the door, I picked up the little booklet that Sister Anna Marie Miles wrote on the corrupt tree. I'd encourage you to get it and read it sometime. It still applies to this age. Anyway, I wanted to have something that I could read while I was waiting in the pool for a jury. There were televisions various places all around. There was one person in that jury pool that knew me, but I didn't know they were there. And so sometime later, and they're not with the saints now. They once were, but anyway, they saw me. And they said, "You didn't know it, but I was in that jury pool. And I was determined to watch you and see if you were taken with the television." But they said I wasn't. Well, I had my book I was reading. Thank the Lord. I knew that that would be an attraction. Our eyes are just drawn to those kind of things. This is the God of this world. And it will control you. It can become addictive. I grew up with a television. I was addicted to the television. Back then, it went off at 12:30 at night. Now it's on 24 hours a day. This is a God. And people are bound with it. And they may not call it a God. They may not call it worship. It is a type of worship. So there's another one. I'm going to run through some of these for the sake of time. Money. Careers. We can give ourselves to those things and they become our God. Another one is a God of fashion. We can become so easily attracted to the fashions of the world. And we can even excuse ourselves. Maybe when the fashion, well, when it did, when the fashions became longer, we appreciated it. But there's always something in the fashions of the world that is going to look like the world. Even if it's long enough, even if it covers the body, we can slip into the fashion of the world very easily. When I am looking for clothing, I have some points, guide points. Is it this way? Is it this way? I'm looking for those points. That's my guide. We need to have a guide when we're making the choices of our clothing in the world. We need to be able to look in the mirror and evaluate. Is there anything of me that looks like the world? Lord, help us. Let us not follow the fashion God. And I'm going to say it's not just women. Our men need to be careful of how they dress. Drugs and alcohol, very controlling drugs, gods of this world. People are bound. Another god, and I believe it's a very, very strong and powerful god. I know it is. I don't just believe it. I know it. People are bound with it. I'm going to call it, for the sake of being discreet, it's a sensual god. We can call it a god of pornography, and we all understand it immediately, what it is. So it's one of the great gods of this world that has people so bound. It has been said that to be bound by this god is worse than being bound to cocaine. It's been said. So it's very controlling. But our God has power over it. Thank the Lord. You know, there are many people today that are naming the name of Christ and yet trying to follow some of these gods. And I want to say it will never work at the judgment if we find ourselves even divided. A house that is divided against itself, it will not stand. If I'm dividing my affections with thinking that I can love God and I can love the world or any of these other gods, you're fooling yourself. It won't work at the judgment. And as I named those gods off, and there's more, I don't expect to see the saints of God really being drawn to those things. We're pretty informed. We should be. We should be pretty convinced to the sinfulness and the wickedness of the world through those gods. But there is one God that is ruling and reigning throughout the whole world that we want to address. And I want to say here, I want to insert right here that when the Lord started giving me these messages, this was the message He started with. This was when I began to cry out to the Lord and I said, Lord, how can I stand with the martyrs in eternity? And the Lord said, you can. There is a way. Along the course of this series of messages, I feel like that the Lord has made us to understand that there's ways for you and me to have a mind that is like the martyrs, even for our age. We have to think that way. We have to feel that way. We have to be convinced in that way. We have to have convictions. Convictions are so important. We have to understand the importance of our convictions. Oftentimes the Lord is dealing with us individually. I do not discount individual convictions at all. I believe that God knows your heart, your life. He knows me. He knows my personality. He knows how I was raised. He knows the things that influence me. But He begins to pinpoint. Yes. He begins to work with. And so convictions become that thing that can be very personal. But collectively, He wants His body of people in the earth to be able to see eye to eye, to speak the same things, to have the same convictions when it comes to doctrinal teachings of the Word of God. He wants us to come to it. The scripture says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. We may be at different levels of faith and trust. We may be at different levels of understanding. God knows. He knows how to work with us individually. But he doesn't want us to ever discount the teachings or to cast them aside or to walk over them and think they're not important. They're important. So the God that I have spoken of that is in the whole world, and I want you to know that I have earnestly prayed for the Lord to help me to know how to present this. It is the God of the medical world. Our world has exploded with medical information, medical technology. It's no longer in the days of the pioneers where a doctor was there mainly to aid and help, but it has become so pronounced in our world. I think we all feel it right now, especially with the COVID, especially with the vaccinations, the talk, if you will, of compelling everyone to take a vaccination. It's around us. It's offered. The medical field offers so much, and the procedures can be so simple. They can be so simple that we can begin to reason it out. When I went to have my glasses changed, and the one optometrist told me that I didn't have anything left to do but have surgery, he sent another man in, and that man said, he said, this is nothing more than cutting your toenails. It's as simple as that. Those kind of temptations can affect us. Yes. If we are not convinced or convicted of what God wants in our lives.
Yes.
I'm going to say something here, and I'm trusting that God will help us all to understand this. It is not wise, nor is it honorable, to bash the doctors or the medical science. It's not wise. Our convictions can be so personal and so strong, and yet we don't have to even draw attention to what our temptations are. We don't have to. It's not wise. I want to encourage us all. Keep your convictions, but don't put down the medical world. You might say, well, why? I don't go to doctors. I don't do this. I don't do that. Live it between you and God. And let your light shine in that way with a testimony that God can do this and has done it for others. God has been merciful. God has allowed the people that cannot trust Him to have a way out. That's the answer. Be thankful that God has had mercy on people. Where would they turn to if it hadn't developed? Lord, help us. So God has had mercy and he's allowed this avenue for people that don't know how to trust God. And I'm going to ask this question, is it perfect? Well, the answer is no, it's not perfect. The medical world is not a perfect world. I want to ask this question too. Do you think that there is no suffering in trusting in man? I've been there, not for myself, but for somebody else, and I know the suffering that they go through. So don't ever say, well, if I trust the Lord, will I have to suffer? I'm going to talk to us a little bit about suffering. So, again, I want to say, it's not wise, it's not honorable to say and speak against the medical profession. Hold what you have in your trust in God for your own soul's sake. Now I want to speak about the atonement of Christ. We're going to leave behind the medical profession and all. But I think it's very important that you and I have a full understanding of the atonement of Christ. When I speak of the atonement, what do you think of? Don't you think of salvation? Don't you think of Christ giving his life that you could have salvation? Yes, that's what we think of. As Christ was carrying out his mission in the world, how many times did he say, thy sins be forgiven? How many times did he say, go and sin no more? And what did he say to the thief on the cross? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Those are golden words. And that's what we're living for, isn't it? That you and I can hear the words that say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's the most important words that you and I will hear at the end of our life. Most important. But did all of the people believe that he could forgive sins? No, they did not. Great contest. It was discounted. Who is this man that he can forgive sins? That's what Christ faced. They doubted. Many people doubted that he could forgive sins. And I think that if I were to ask each one of you here, how many do not believe in the atonement of forgiving sins, I wouldn't have a hand. All of us here have no doubt that God can forgive sins, that Christ paid the price for you and me to have salvation. And all of the people of the world, it is offered unto all. And he said he wasn't willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And he made this plan. He developed it from the foundation of the world. And it came into play the day that Christ died on the cross, was buried and resurrected the third day. And the plan. And Jesus was on the cross. And what did he say? He said, it is finished. The plan of God was perfect and entire and wanting nothing. And it was finished. He didn't call for the angels. He didn't rescue himself. He gave of himself for you and me to have salvation. And we know this. And we believe it. And we don't doubt it. And we trust in it. And we trust in the name of Christ. We trust in that name. There's no other name whereby men shall be saved. So we are believing in his resurrection, in his death. But also, I want to give you a list. May not be a complete list. Jesus also healed. It said he went about healing all manner of sickness and disease when he walked this earth. And it says that he healed not only sickness and disease, he healed the blind and the lame and many with leprosy and the dumb and the maimed and those with fever and those with infirmities and plagues and evil spirits and an issue of blood. And he raised the dead. And that may not be a complete list. But he did it all. He had the power in his body. As the woman touched the hem of his garment, what did he say? Who touched me? He felt the virtue go out of his body. And he knew it went for the purpose of healing someone. And he turned and Thy faith has made thee whole. You know, in the days of him walking the earth and healing people, they could believe it. They saw it. It was evident. It was miracles. It was the multitudes would hear of his healing power and follow him and beg to be healed. And one scripture says, he looked on the multitude with compassion and he healed them. I believe he wants to look with compassion on us and our afflictions and heal us. Thank the Lord. So, did you know that even though they couldn't believe that he could deliver from sin, they believed he could heal, and now it is switched. Most of the people today would say, yes, Christ can save from sin, but when it comes to healing, they think it was only for that time. Yet, Jesus suffered more than I can imagine, more than I will ever suffer. Don't you know that people draw back from suffering? We do. We do. How do I know that? Because we're calling for prayer when we're suffering. And so, yes, we want the Lord to hear our cries. We want the Lord to hear our prayers for one another. We carry a burden for each other when we're in pain and suffering. That's our humanity. Christ knew he was going to suffer. He had to consecrate to it. And he did. But he suffered more than you and I ever will. For us to have the great privilege of asking for the healing of our body. Now, divine healing is not to be a bandwagon. It is not to be the one doctrine that we hold above everything. There have been some, even among us, that may not even have a clean and holy life, but they will not give up divine healing. And it's supposed to be that it proves how holy I am. It does not prove that. God is merciful to the even people that are unthankful, even people that are unholy. He reaches out. He healed. Brother Austin said in his message on divine healing, he said, God healed more than he saved Jesus did. Sorry. Jesus healed more people than he saved. All of those people that were healed, did they turn and get saved? Doesn't show that that many did. And yet Jesus said, when the man was brought down from the roof and lowered in front of Jesus, and he was sick with the palsy and couldn't walk, and Jesus said, first, thy sins be forgiven. And those that were around there murmured. And then he said, take up thy bed and walk. Healing is part of the atonement that he suffered for. We need to make it a part of us, our faith, our belief, our trust. And yet, I want this to be balanced.
Yes.
I want us to come to it, not because somebody preached it, not because somebody lived this way, not because of what somebody said over here or over there. No. Remember, God provided for the people that cannot put their full trust. That's how we should look at it. So, I want to, time is just getting away so quickly, and I want to give a testimony here of how God led me. I was not raised to trust the Lord. My family didn't. I heard the preaching when I was young, and I believed it, but I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the foundation. And so, after I had the wreck, and it broke this arm, and all of my other injuries when I was in the hospital, I'm telling you, there's going to be times we may need these places. It's just how it is. They could not put a plate in my arm or fix my arm because of all of my other injuries. The bones separated so far. It was healing on both ends. I went to several doctors. They wouldn't even put a cast on my arm. They just said, no, there's nothing left. Now, we went to our pastors and we sought counsel. And here is a secret, I think, in how God works with his people or anyone. He deals in truth.
Yes.
He does not deal in deception or a lie. And I was counseled to go and have my arm operated on. They said, after you've done it, if you feel that you have failed God, you deal with God. Listen, we're serving a merciful God, but we don't want to presume upon his mercy. We want to trust in his mercy. So I had my arm operated on. And afterwards, I didn't have the peace of God. I didn't give up God, but I just didn't have the peace. So that was in January, and in March, I was left at home accidentally, didn't have car keys. So I opened up my Bible and I opened up to the 116th Psalms. And sometime if you want to have a good psalm to read in your devotions, that's a real good one. And all the way through there, it had the words, I will take the cup of salvation. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will pay my vows. All the way through there was these words, I will. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you can have salvation if you will. It wasn't that I'd given up my salvation, but I didn't have the peace. I got down and I said, Lord, I thought I had faith. And I'm asking for you to forgive me. I don't know how I failed, but The peace of God came back. Months went by. Came down to another place in my life that I had to know why God did not heal my arm. The saints had fasted. There's been many prayers that went up for the Lord to heal my arm. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, almost like an audible voice, I was fasting. I thought I would fast for 3 weeks. I know I couldn't, but the very first morning I got down before the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't take another step for you until I know why you didn't heal my arm. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I could not heal your arm. We know God could heal, but he said he could not. And then I said, well, Lord, why could you not heal my arm? He said, you would have taken pride in that kind of healing. And I could never have dealt with you about anything in your life again because you would have thought yourself so holy. It was like he was right there and he spoke those words. And as soon as he said it, I knew it was true. And it brought back to my mind when the saints were fasting and praying for me, and I hate to tell it, I've told it many times. Oh, when I go to camp meeting and I raise my hand in song, the camp is going to shout. Now, is that pride? Did you know God did me a favor to not heal me because I would have taken pride in it? God knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows my life. And I want to tell you, that experience alone has made me have compassion on others. Because I don't know what God's doing to work in a person's life. I don't know. But he has an avenue he wants to lead into and to bring. And before the Lord, oh, the other thing the Lord said to me, he said, if I would have healed you, you would have been like the most unpopular boy becoming class president. You wouldn't know how to handle it. I knew it was true. And then when he quit speaking to me, he said, I will give you something to trust me for. That's what the Lord wants to do with divine healing. He wants you to grow in faith, grow in knowledge, grow in trust. He's not calling for you to be way down the road when your faith is way back here. He wants to develop it. He wants it to be real. And I can tell you, when the Lord started doing that, he led me that way. It's not been a trial to me. It's not been hard. God wants to be real to us. He's been real to me ever since. That is called divine healing, divine trust. I learned. I didn't build on somebody's testimony. I didn't build on somebody's belief over here and over there. And I didn't build on anything but what God led me to. And that's what God wants to do with every one of us. It becomes then a conviction. I don't put that conviction on you because God knows what you're feeling in your heart and mind. He knows how to work with you. But he will work with honesty. He cannot work with dishonesty. I did not hide what I did. Yes, I felt judged. You have to let that be. But you be honest. Don't pretend to be something you're not. God can't work with that. But the devil can. So, I have a couple of scriptures I need to give you now. I know Without a doubt that this is not popular. I've struggled and battled for this message more than any message I've preached in a long time. Psalms 118 and 8. And listen, there's a number of scriptures about putting our trust in God and putting our trust in man. There's a number. I'm not going to give those all here. I think that's something you need to search out. You need to study the Word. If you're not convinced and you aren't convicted within yourself, it's a personal conviction, you'll fail. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's just a wise, it's so wise. How many times can man fail? How many times does God fail? Well, God didn't heal your arm. Was that a failure? No, that wasn't a failure. He was being faithful to my soul, to my eternity. He was being faithful to bring me to a place. Thank the Lord. Also, there's a scripture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, that scripture can apply to so many areas of our spiritual walk. But it can apply to this. Oh, I want the Lord to lead you and me into what we're believing and trusting in. Yes. So there will be martyrs of this age. And I bring this part to you not for judgment or condemnation or trying to influence. I'm not doing it. If God isn't behind all that you stand for, I'm not going to be there to give you grace. But God will. And so I know that to the world this all sounds foolish, but to his trusting children, it's eternal life. And that's not saying if you go to the doctor, you're going to be lost. That's not what I'm saying. I think that you need to do it before God, for his work in your life. Oh, I just believe it with all my heart. And this scripture is Hebrews 11 and 35. And I'm going to be adding just a little here to speak to our minds, not to take away from the scripture. Maybe a verse or two above that, it says, who through faith, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. We've read that scripture in some of the other messages about this martyrdom. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is on faith. And God wants us to be strong in faith. And he wants us to not have a pretense. He wants us to grow in faith. And he knows how to lead us to grow in faith. It's a wonderful thing for the Lord to work with us and we grow in faith. It's a marvelous thing. Oh, it's a contest. You have contests all along the way. But it's a marvelous thing to know that your faith is growing in God. So it says, that they did not accept deliverance, that they might have obtain a better resurrection. The 39th verse says, and these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. The promise of what? When I read this scripture in one of the other messages, I had one in the congregation contact me and say, they all died in faith, not having received the promise. What was it? Well, for them, it was that Christ had not come. They were looking forward to the prophecy of Christ. You and I are looking back to the day he gave his life. He suffered for me to have the full atonement in my life. So I put in here, not having, you and I might say, well, I didn't receive healing. Wait on God. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. He wants to prove himself to each one of us. Verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us. I want to give you Psalm 111. I'm sorry it has taken this long to finish this series. God's way is best if human wisdom, a fair way may seem to show, 'tis only that our earth dim vision, the truth can never clearly know. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I should go astray, and wander far away in darkness, nor reach the land of endless day. He leadeth true, I will not question, though through the valley I shall go, though I should pass through clouds of trial. Listen, you're going to have to prove you're worthy to enter heaven, that you're going to be a child of God, and you're going to live for him, and he's going to be your life. God leads true. The song says, I will not question, though through the valley I shall go. Forsake thy fears. You're going to have fears. You're going to have doubts. You're going to battle them. I have battled fears and doubts in the last 2 or 3 months. I've battled imaginations. God allows us to go through these places to prove us. He proved the children of Israel in many places to see if they would trust him or not. That's what the word says. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting. Submit thyself into his hands. Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. God's way is best. I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. We may not see the end. There will come a time that your affliction and my affliction is going to be our ticket to eternal life. It's appointed unto man. There will come a time that he will withhold healing, but he won't withhold grace. Now, I want to tell you something. In these past few months, the grace of God has been sufficient for me. I praise him, and I worship him, and I glorify him. He's been there. He's given me songs. He's given me his word. And I want to tell you, I feel like today I'm healed.
Thank the Lord.
I truly believe the Lord inspired my faith the other day, and I'm feeling better than I have felt in a long time. And I'm trusting in God. But I want to tell you, the blessing of his holy presence, the blessing of when he does the work supersedes anything else. He wants to bless us. He suffered for me. And one day I was down praying after I had had a terrible attack. And I said, Lord, I know that you have suffered greater than I ever will. But he will make a way for escape.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. That's our final message. You and I can be martyrs of this age when we choose, when we're convinced, when we are convicted. He will give us grace. He'll give us power. And you can endure. That's one of the things I've prayed about. I've said, Lord, help me to endure to the end of this thing. I believe I'm at the end. I may be contested. Every time I testified, it seemed like the enemy would come against me. But we claim the healing power of God.
Amen.
Pray for me.